Okay, I get it. Hey, Truth Seekers, welcome to Friday. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, but I saw this in some business section of something. I don't know. It's legit. Halliburton has been awarded, not a contract yet, a letter of intent to develop the huge Majnoon oil field in southern Iraq for Shell Iraq Petroleum. Financial terms of the agreement were not disclosed. Under the terms of the letter of intent, the Houston-based company, Halliburton, God, they just win. No matter what happens, they always win. Will serve as project manager for the development and work with blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Shell holds a 45% stake in the field, while this other company holds 30%, and the Iraqi state holds 25%. Oh, my goodness. At full capacity, the field is expected to produce 1.8 million barrels of oil a day, according to Halliburton. The deal awaits final approval by Iraqi authorities. What the hell do Iraqi authorities have to say about it? Well, this kind of ties in nicely with the withdrawal of American troops from Iraq, right? Halliburton. You know, they could advertise online on Craigslist or something a baby roast. And and still they would get government contracts. And not just them. We have something on Blackwater, too, that came in here at the last minute. All right. I got an email from this guy named Athman. A-T-H-M-A-N. I hope I'm pronouncing it. Athman. Subject line, message from a guy born in Morocco who loves your program. Hello, Mike. I have a comment about Islam. As you certainly know, Islam was the most powerful religion and civilization for over 800 years. Islam conquered Spain, China, India, North Africa, etc. My point is this. Back then, there was no such thing as human rights. There was no television, no internet. And Islam had all the time and power, if they wanted it, to kill all the Jews or the Christians. And Islam did not do that because the religion recognizes Jesus and Moses as prophets. As you know, many Arabs are Christians. And there are still Christians in addition and Jews, in addition to churches and synagogues, in Libya, Palestine, Iraq, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and even in Iran. The number two person after the king in power in Morocco is a Jew. In Tunisia, the most beautiful parts, his English, written English, is a little disjointed, but that's okay. In Tunisia, the best parts are populated by Tunisia's Jews and many synagogues living in peace with Muslims. How this savage religion, as it's portrayed by Fox News, left all the Jews and Christians alive, I don't know. The terrorists have nothing to do with Islam, and they harmed more Muslims than non-Muslims. They killed over 200,000 in Algeria since 1992. It is pure politics. I hope that you will share this with your audience. I listen to your program every day when I can. I am not a believer. I think all religions are crazy. My origin is Morocco. Thanks. Athman. Well, yeah, thanks for writing. You know, the weird kind of part, most Americans don't have a clue about what happened during the Dark Ages in Europe, what was going on in the highly civilized part of the world at the time, which was the Arab-speaking world. Science, math, medicine, physics, engineering, all of that stuff, all of those sciences were kept alive and developed and perfected and honed by Muslims, while Christians in the northern tier of the civilized, quote-quote, world at the time were still chanting and seeing disease as a curse from God and afraid, you know, that if somebody like Galileo said, well, listen, I think the sun is the center, he would be condemned if not absolutely had his guts ripped out. I mean, Islam, well, whatever you think about it now, and again, I condemn all religions. All religions! But Islam, or the Arab speakers, who were all Islamic at the time, well, okay, they weren't all Islamic at the time, but it was the adherence to that faith, or of that faith, that kept alive literature, art, science, music, dance, while the Europeans would stare into a bowl of spiders and try to think about demons, how many demons populated hell, and the Black Plague was a curse because there were Jews running around or something. The reason I bring it up is because of this outrageous comments being made by one religious psychopath after another, Christian religious psychopath after another. I've got several of them here that I got to share with you again tonight. Why do I do this? You know, I get emails from people. Why do you bring this crap up? Are you kidding me? What should I do? Just leave stuff like this hanging? This filthy Satan-worshipping freak, Franklin Graham, is at it again? Did you hear this? You know, the seed of Satan is at it again. There's a church down in Gainesville, Florida, that are going to burn Qurans on September 11th. They are! Now, can you imagine if there were a mosque in Detroit that decided to burn Bibles? What would happen? What would happen? Huh? But what's going to happen to this little rat bastard, minister, the Dove World Outreach Center? They say, Islam is of the devil! And they plan to burn copies of the Islamic Holy Book on the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The chief of the Gainesville police said he told them that the protest violates local fire prevention laws, and they better not. The deputy chief of police told the Gainesville Times or the Gainesville Sun, it wouldn't matter what book it is that they're burning, you can't do it! Regardless, the church sent out an email vowing to burn Qurans anyway. The email said, City of Gainesville denies burn permit, but we will still burn the Qurans! Ah! The church's website lists a list of 10 reasons why it's good to burn the Quran, including Islamic law is totalitarian in nature, and we'll beat the hell out of you to prove it! Islamic teaching contains irrational fear and loathing. What? And the Quran, here's the big one. The Quran teaches that Jesus was not the Son of God. Something is happening to my country. It is spiraling down into a cesspool and sewer of right-wing political nuttery and religious insanity. Evil A's that trickle down and shipping jobs offshore. You wish it's all them unemployed, it's not trying to act this well. Your brother's keep just don't apply, cause it's everybody for himself. Shaving, claiming, glorying, and glory.
The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Oh, yeah. 21 past the hour. You know, the irony of this this pigsty in Gainesville that's decided to burn the Korans tomorrow or September 11th. You know, when they say one of the reasons is because Islam is a totalitarian religion, what is one of the hallmarks of totalitarianism if not book burning? I mean, the Christians do this all the time. They burn books, they burn CDs, they burn videotapes, they burn DVDs, anything. I mean, you never see a bunch of Jews getting together at some synagogue in the United States and burning Christian books, do you? You never see Muslims getting together in Detroit or Atlanta and burning books. Who burns books? I've never seen Hindus burn books. They burn incense, but I've never seen them burn books. Who burns books? My people. Christians. There's a P.S. to that story about the church down in or the sewer down in Gainesville, Florida. In Gainesville, Florida, that's the home of the University of Florida, for God's sake. There's a P.S. The church sent out an email to members, and it says the RBC Bank, that's Royal Bank of Canada, RBC Bank has called in our mortgage with a limited time to pay it off. And now, Cotton's All Lines Insurance has also canceled our commercial insurance on our property, putting our mortgage in immediate default. We need to raise the $140,000 to pay off the RBC loan immediately. The person who sent this to me said, call me a cynic, but this book burning seems to be a ploy to generate cash donations from the Islamophobic wingnuts in an effort to save this particular cult. Oh, boy. Bill from Ottawa. Oh, yeah, Bill's the one that said, no need to imagine what the reaction would be if a mosque in Detroit decided to burn some Bibles. Oh, my God. All right. And Franklin Graham. I just wish that Franklin Graham would go ahead and rapture himself. Maybe he and Glenn Beck could get together and do the rapture boogie on each other, you know? Just bring out the knives and the guns and do the rapture boogie on each other. Franklin Graham has no business being on Earth. I mean, he didn't want to be here anyway. All he does is leave a trail of ugliness and hatefulness behind him. But now he was on CNN last night, and this is why the mainstream media. I'm not talking about Fox. Fox sucks. Fox is a sewer hole. But I'm talking about mainstream media. They give airtime or they give over editorial space to freaks like Franklin Graham, and then they all sit back and go, wow, did you hear what he said the other night? Oh yeah, I know, that's awful. Well, for a major television network to give airtime to someone who is a religious psychopath, to me it's the height of irresponsibility. Anyway, Graham was on CNN last night, and he has an answer. Barack Obama's problem. This is what he said, quote, I think the president's problem is that he was born a Muslim. His father was a Muslim. The seed of Islam is passed through the father, like the seed of Judaism is passed through the mother. He was born a Muslim. His father gave him an Islamic name. Now, it's obvious that the president has renounced the Prophet Muhammad, and he has renounced Islam, and he has accepted Jesus Christ. That's what he says he has done. I cannot say that he hasn't. So I just have to believe that the president is what he said. You know, you can be born a Muslim, you can be born a Jew, but you can't be born a Christian. The only way you can become a Christian is by confessing your sins to God, asking His forgiveness, and by receiving Jesus Christ by faith into your heart, that Christ died for your sins, shed His blood on Calvary's cross, and that God raised Him to life. If you're willing to accept that and believe that, and that Jesus the Christ be the Lord of your life, God will forgive your sins, and He will heal your heart. And that's the only way you can become a Christian. And so if the president has done that, then I would say he's a Christian, if that's really what he has done. That was on CNN, on John King's program. The seed of Islam. You can't be born a Christian, but you are born a Jew. You are born a Muslim. But you can't be born a Christian. You have to be born again. Ah.
They drag this black ass down the station. Okay, streets are safe now. All your pretty white children can come out and cease firing. They came out their houses and they looked around, but they didn't see no one in my country. Tis of day to take swings at each other on the talk show TV. Why don't you just go ahead and turn off the sun? Cause we'll never live long enough undo everything they've done to you.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, Kay Petrini writes, this is a German author, Heinrich Heine, wrote in the mid-19th century about his country, where they burn books, they will ultimately burn people. Heine. I guess it's Heine. What else? Oh, yeah. So, Paul wrote to CNN about Franklin Graham. And Paul wrote this evening, he's talking about tonight, I saw Keith Olbermann's piece on the appearance of Franklin Graham on CNN Thursday night. It was... I was motivated to fire off this email to John King of CNN, who, as far as I can gather, was the reporter in whose presence Graham exposed himself, so to speak. Here's the email. Reverend Franklin Graham has demonstrated his utter ignorance about Islam and the life of President Obama in his piece on CNN Thursday evening. Everyone is entitled to his opinion, but you and CNN, he's referring to John King, do the public a disservice by giving airtime to someone who combines an appalling level of ignorance with the supposed authority that would be inferred by the title Reverend. I strongly urge that in the future you feature individuals who know what they're talking about, rather than know-nothings like Franklin Graham. While Reverend Graham may inspire his flock with his preaching, he has demonstrated by his piece on your show that outside of his areas of expertise, assuming that he has some, he operates by perception, half-truth, and innuendo, rather than making any kind of good faith effort to ascertain the facts. As a news organization, you should be promoting actual truth rather than the low-life, false intellectuality practiced by Reverend Graham. That's the end of the email. Blah, 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 Paul. Thanks, Paul. It's Paul's right, and of course it's worse than that. I mean, what is happening over at the Fox Channel I know you all get tired of this. Those people want to see America burn. They want to see this country go up in flames. I mean, that's a given. But why doesn't the rest of media, about the only person who takes these scum on, two people, and that's Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow on television. You know, how does CBS, NBC, and ABC allow this to go on? And even, I mean, the networks will even pick up on a story that comes out of the garbage pit that is Fox and treat it like it's really news. So, you know, I know the answer to the question. I'm just tossing it out there. Media, corporate media in this country, has become its own cesspool. And why should they, why would the White House Press Association allow, why would the White House Press Association allow Fox News to even sit in to sit in the White House briefing room? What happened? Did I have this muted? No, I don't know what. Okay, now it's okay. We're just talking about buttons and levers in here. But why in the world the White House Press Association would allow Fox to even enter into that room is beyond me. Not that the non-Fox reporters are paragons of journalistic integrity. They're not. But Fox produces huge cockroaches who walk upright on two legs, a kind of Kafka-esque kind of situation where they, you know, and they carry microphones, these cockroaches, and they pass themselves off as media reps. Ah, to hell with it. Pat Robertson, him too. Pat Robertson on his 700 Club program yesterday said that Muslims in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, could bribe local officials in order to expand the influence of the Muslims. What's going on? There is another construction. Robertson said during his broadcast, there was a report. Damn it, I'll get it right. Come on, Mike, try English. Okay, here we go. During his broadcast from Pat Robertson's sewer, there was a report about the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Its plans to build a 52,000 square foot structure southeast of the city. And in the process of that of showing that piece of video, when it was over, Robertson says, "Well, the reason they're going to build this is because they're bribing the local authorities." The mayor of Murfreesboro, Ernest Burgess, scoffed at comments that were made. The mayor said the comments were so ridiculous they do not deserve a response. This Islamic center plans to start with 10,000 square foot of worship for worship and receptions, and later add offices, classrooms for religious study, gym, indoor pool. The 15-acre site will also eventually include a sports field, basketball, tennis court, playground, pavilion, and cemetery. Pat Robertson said money from wealthy Muslims in Saudi Arabia is being used to pay for the construction. Robertson said Islam is not just a religion. He went on to say that Muslims could end up taking over the city council to pass ordinances that require public prayer and foot washing. And he added, before long, you'll have girls with headdresses on. Wait a second. I thought foot washing was something the Christians did. I thought public prayer is something they wanted. He went on to say, Robertson did, Muslims could end up taking over the city council to pass ordinances that require public prayer and foot washing. Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to happen. Yeah, watch out. Watch out, everybody. The Russians are... No, it's not Russians anymore. The queers are... No, it's not queers anymore. The Negroes... No, it's not them anymore. The Jews... No, not the Jews. The Muslims are coming! The Muslims are coming! Oh, my God! That doesn't sound very good. I don't know what's going on with the sound, Kathy. Something's all screwed up, but what the hell? That's the Malloy program. That's what we do on the Malloy program. We have engineering follow-up after engineering follow-up. No, it's not that. It's something else. That's not it. I don't know what's going on. I really, you get to the point where you don't give a damn. You know, you just don't care, right? I think I've reached that point. All right, I've got a report here from Prairie 2 that I want to get to at some point, but I can't get to it until we have until we come back from the next break, because, you know, Prairie 2 is very wordy. He's more wordy than I am. Oh, yeah, and Sharon Angle, the one who's going to unseat, who's going to unseat Harry Reid. Sharon Angle has, did you know that she had a thing about a high school football team wearing black jerseys? She said that they shouldn't do that because black is the color of evil. And because black is the color of evil, this is a couple of years ago. What happened was, there was this football team. What the hell's the name? It was a high school football team. And back in 1992, Sharon Angle waged her first public campaign against black football jerseys after the local favorites, local high school team, had been defeated by an upstart team of newbies from a neighboring county in 1991. The coach came up with this for the following year. To fire up his charges for the 1992 homecoming game against Laughlin High, they decided to utilize the Darkest Day theme, and he suggested that the football team could wear black jerseys to remember the previous year's debacle. But Sharon Angle said that wearing dark jerseys was a sign of Satan. Sharon Angle's a religious fanatic. She belongs to the same kind of fundamentalist snake handlers as Sarah Palin. But she said it was evil and dark, and a person should not wear black anything, because in doing so, you were going against Jesus's proclamation that he's the light of the world. And wearing black, here, Sharon, look, I wear black every day, and I'll continue to wear black until the war in Vietnam is over. Trust me on that one.
It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Oh, man. This is so sad. It really is. From Hawaii, we have Italics is the person who... that's the way he or she identifies... himself or herself. Italics writes, the Muslim mosque thing is making me crazy. Much of New York City is built on the ashes of humans killed in religious fervor. Much of this country was built on such ashes. Whether it was Native Americans or Irish or Africans or women in Salem, the list goes on and on and on. Whole cities have been built on their ashes. Even if the Muslims were responsible for 9/11, as ridiculous as that statement is, there's nothing more uniquely American than building a church on the ashes. Yeah, I get you. I understand. I do. Oh, and this is kind of funny. It was in the Wall Street Journal. For strippers near Ground Zero, it's business as usual amid all this mosque uproar. They talk about a woman, a stripper named Chris, who after the trade towers came down, she went to volunteer in the recovery effort for the Red Cross. Now, 10 years later, she knew dances just down the street from Ground Zero at the Pussycat Lounge. And she says she doesn't know what the big deal is. She says, I don't know what the big deal is. It's freedom of religion, you know? Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. But the strippers and the bartenders said, it's all good. You have your synagogues and your churches, and you have a mosque. What's the big deal? Chris said she lost 8 friends on September 11, 2001. Firefighters in the Brooklyn Firehouse, next to her home at the time. And then she said, the people who did that, they're not going to the mosque. Yeah, well, this country is losing its mind. We're losing our mind because we are, because we're losing everything else that we have. Oh, that was the problem. Okay, there we go. All right. Now we got it worked out. Yeah. Mikey had his sound on his computer open. God, I hate this. I want to go back to 45 RPMs. I don't know why. Maybe it's the karma. You know, we've talked in this program over the years about the karma, the balance, and I'm talking from a physics point of view, not from, you know, some religious weird point of view, but just from a physics point of view, action reaction. You know, you can only do so many really nasty things before the balance starts to take effect. You know, I mean, either you believe that or you don't believe it. I realize that's getting pretty close to religious thought for somebody like me. But if you look at it from Newton's, is it second law? I think it's the second law of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's Newton, isn't it? Yeah, okay. I don't know. What do I know? But when you look at what's happening to this country, to the United States, the complete collapse of our economic system, and we are so far from hitting bottom still to make it to almost make you want to flee. The religious insanity that's occurring in this country right now, just the total breakdown of even a tenuous grip on civility by the Christians in this country. And, you know, somebody said the other day, why do you lump us all together? And the reason is because mainstream Christians do not come out in, I'm not talking about one or two. I mean, all of them come out and condemn this stuff. Mainstream Christians do not condemn the Holocaust while the Holocaust was occurring. So mainstream Christians are as responsible for the silence and the breakdown in this country as these nutballs like Sharon Angle or Franklin Graham. And, that's one of the things that's so disgusting to me. When there's an opportunity for the Christian community in the United States to really take a stand, to stand up, the millions and millions of Christians that are in this country, to take a stand against this religious bigotry. But on the other hand, and they don't. They just don't. On the other hand, they can't. They can't. Because their religion says that there's only one path. There's only one way. And in this great competition for souls that the Christians are always finding themselves in. You ever notice that? You know, they're out and about saving souls. I'm saving souls. Are you kidding me? So, you know, for me or anyone else to expect that at this time of national breakdown, this time in our history when the country seems to be dissolving, is dissolving on so many levels, to expect the Christians in this country to use the language of their own avatar or their own God and to say that this is an outrage, the kind of hate and destruction engineered by their fellow religionists. And they won't do it. They don't do it. How many churches this Sunday do you think will the preacher stand up and say Franklin Graham is out of his mind? Huh? How many? Yeah, I know. All right, that's enough church. When we come back, other stuff. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Listening on the web stream are saying we're having audio problems as punishment for playing ABBA during the breaks on the web. Hey, look, I like ABBA. ABBA reminds me of going out to the clubs in Atlanta back in the 70s and 80s and dancing till 4 a.m. and drinking. And it's a great time. Tim in Los Angeles, he says, what is it with the religious nutcases? Remember when they used to burn records because Satan spoke through the vinyl? Wouldn't it be funny if all the Qurans didn't burn, but the church where this is going to happen did, because the pastor accidentally dropped a can of fuel and lighter too close to the building? If that happens, I would be laughing. Yeah, I would be too. And then I know I said no more of this, but look, I can't. In all fairness, I got an email here from Lisa. And full disclosure, one of my best friends, Gary Gordon, who I've had on this program, he lives in L.A. now. He used to be the mayor of Gainesville after he graduated from University of Florida. I have a lot of friends who graduated at University of Florida. That's why I said University of Florida. All right, but let me share with you what Lisa wrote. Are you talking about these people? And she has a website for these freaks. And Lisa writes, they're not respected anywhere in Gainesville, and are a tiny group of no consequence locally, not some major part of Gainesville. They put up a sign saying Islam is of the devil last year, and everyone picketed and laughed at them. They're like a speck that you have to go out of your way to find out any news about what they're doing, although sometimes the media will discuss them to get a laugh locally. Certainly you realize this church is not typical of our area. Everyone in this town despises that church. I have only lived in this town for 2 years. But I went out and photographed that place as soon as I saw the story last year about their anti-Islam signs. Did not know they are seeking more attention, but they are an extremely small, tiny wacko group, like many wacko groups all over the country, such as those memorialized in Apocalypse Pretty Soon by Alex Heard. There is some nut job tiny church in most states. Gainesville is the most progressive liberal-voting city in Florida. True. It's the only city that fought off Michigan's Thomas More Law Center anti-gay activists last year who tried to change the city charter of Gainesville to disallow rights for gays and transsexuals. In some cities in other parts of the country, including Michigan and a town in Maine, they succeeded in changing the laws using the men will be in the women's bathroom logic during elections. Gainesville voters voted that down and despised the church. Unfortunately, it is illegal for us to terrorize that church, so we can only laugh at, photograph, and mock them. Now that I'm aware that they're at it again, I'll go find out what they're doing. I can't find the article just now, but I'll try to find it and learn more for people in Gainesville. But it's far under the radar here, since no one gives a rip about that little dirtbag church. The anti-gay nutjob Westboro Baptist Church group ran out of Gainesville early because they were protested very heavily against by students. And a couple of months ago, and we have a very active move-on group that that is covered regularly in the city paper as though a part of the mainstream, and so on and so on. Lisa, no, your point is well taken, but I think, and I do get emails from people who say, why do you focus on these people? Because they're there. You know, to ignore these organizations, to me, is a mistake. I go back to what the German theologian Niemöller said about, you know, not saying anything when crazy people started to take prominence. And I think anyone will agree that religious crazies, Christian religious crazies, if you're a Christian and you practice your faith and you're happy with your faith, I apologize to you for offending you. Your faith, though, offends me. It really does. I don't go out of my way to challenge Muslim, Christian, or Jew. I don't. You know, to have a religious organization or a spokesperson for that organization tell me that that my soul or my existence or something is absolutely condemned because I don't believe the way they believe makes me, well, pisses me off, you know. And, you know, I want to say, how dare you say something like that? How dare you? If you want to practice, if you want to worship chairs and toilet paper rolls, go ahead. But for God's sake, so to speak, Don't be so condemning. That's the part that really galls me. But to shine a light on these cockroach organizations like the Westboro Baptist Church and this group in Gainesville, wherever they are, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell before Satan snatched his ass into hell, Franklin Graham, all these people. You know, they just need to have the light shown on them because they operate in the darkness. You know, the darkness of fear and bigotry and nastiness and ugliness and hate. That's where they operate. As a matter of fact, that same place Fox Channel operates and all of their scum. The private security company, formerly called Blackwater Worldwide, has reached an agreement with the State Department to pay $42 million in fines for hundreds of violations of U.S. export control regulations. The violations included illegal weapons exports to Afghanistan, making unauthorized proposals to train troops in South Sudan, providing sniper training for Taiwanese police officers. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The settlement, which has not yet been publicly announced, follows lengthy talks between Blackwater, now called Xee, and the State Department, allowing that dealt with the violations as an administrative matter, allowing the firm to avoid criminal charges. Now, what does that mean? Well, as Reg over TV News Live says, by paying fines rather than facing criminal charges on the export violations, Blackwater will be able to continue to obtain government contracts. Xee still has contracts to provide security for both the State Department and the CIA in Afghanistan. So the murderous activity by these Rambo freaks that are employed by Blackwater, Xee, will continue. The point of that, there is no stopping. Halliburton gets the overarching contract to develop a massive oil field in Iraq. You know, Cheney's company. No heartbeat. Nothing there. Oh, well. Cheney's company. This Blackwater. All of these corporate monsters, they continue. It doesn't make any difference what is revealed about them. It doesn't make any difference how much slaughter they perpetrate against Americans or Iraqis or Afghans or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They continue. It doesn't matter how often swine and scum like Limbaugh and Beck push their agenda of having people kill each other in the streets. It doesn't matter. In this country anymore. It just doesn't matter. And they continue. I wonder why that is. I wonder why we are so cowardly on top of being so damn stupid that we allow these people to operate globally and domestically. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Some of the mysteries of life. Maybe if I pray on it. You think? You got a break here? Let's do a break. I want to hear some more ABBA while you're doing the break, okay? Oh, that's good. What is that? We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The lies and deception about the oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico just continues, right? Now, in response to the lies put out by BP and the mindless culpability of the Obama administration, boy, you talk. Boy, one more thing to be disappointed about, right? Scientists have now mapped a 22-mile-long plume of oil at a depth of, I think, about 3,000 feet. It is 22 miles long, 1.2 miles wide, and 650 feet high. That's massive. The people who this report is published in the journal Science. And the study was done by the members of the team from Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, probably one of the most respected oceanographic organizations on Earth. The report offers the most authoritative challenge to both White House assertions that most of the oil that's spewed in the Gulf is gone, and BP's assertion also. The lead author of the paper said many people speculated that subsurface oil droplets were being easily degraded. We didn't find that. We found it was still there. So at the heart of the debate is the rate. This is according to the Guardian of the UK, the rate at which naturally occurring microbes have consumed the oil from this explosion. Even by the White House estimates, about one quarter of the oil was siphoned away from the well, skimmed off the surface, or burned. But the Obama administration earlier this month suggested that microbes had eaten as much as 50% of the remaining oil. This latest study put out by Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, where was I? This backs up, a study by scientists from the University of Georgia and Texas A&M University, who also detected the presence of deep water plumes of oil. So it's, for anyone to believe that this is over or it's been solved, I think anyone who believes that is a damn fool. The fishing industry, the people, the oystermen and the shrimpers and the commercial fishers in that area are having an awful time. They know. You hear that thunder? Is that thunder coming through the microphone? Is anybody hearing that? If you look at your local, or go on weather.com and look at the radar, this studio is sitting right under a massive supercell thunder storm. I would not be surprised if we have tornadoes in this area tonight. It's huge, but I digress. I just say that in case we disappear from the airwaves here, you'll know why. The people who rely on commercial fishing don't know what to do. They really don't. So much of the Gulf now has the fishing areas have been taken off the no fishing list. But if you really want to understand what has occurred here, I got my issue of Mother Jones magazine today, and there is a lengthy piece written by the woman whose reports during the gusher we frequently read on this program. But she now has put together a massive article about what has happened and what this all means. Mother Jones, I would imagine you get it online. I subscribe to it, but it's motherjones.com or mojo.com. I guess it's motherjones.com. So if you want to see or want to read an article that is definitive about what this oil gusher really means, then go to motherjones.com or buy the magazine. You know, it's a great magazine to get every. They don't advertise with us, do they? No, of course not. You know, why should they, right? Well, I think they should. We're always quoting from Mother Jones and the Nation, right? Oh, well. Yeah, they've asked me to. They asked me to stop quoting for them. Tell that Malloy. You know, I mean, we don't mind liberals, but Jesus, God, not him. Stick around. Prairie 2 coming back. Also, I'll tell you what. Before we do Prairie 2, since we come back, we're gonna open up the lines. Podcast trivia. You ready? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. 877-99 Malloy. trivia on the Malloy program, where you can win a one-year gift subscription to Malloy Show podcast downloads, commercial-free, and yours to listen to any time you want. All right, cut the music. All right, let us give it a shot here. Susan in Squim, Washington is calling. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. I'm so happy I got in.
Well, so am I.
It's my birthday.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What are you doing that will be fun later on this evening in Squim, Washington?
Well, I ate a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's. And I'm working on some fruit rosé right now.
All right. Well, just ice cream and wine. Be careful.
And I had a steak, too.
Oh, good. Well, something to sop it all up. All right. You ready to do this, Susan?
I am, Mike.
Okay, here we go. Music maestro. Here is your question. The massive volume of oil dumped into the Gulf of Mexico by the BP oil disaster seems to have magically disappeared, but scientists now say that enormous plumes are being discovered. What percentage of oil do these reports indicate remains in the water? What percentage remains in the water? Is it A, up to 10%, B, up to 30%, C, up to 50%, D, up to 90%?
Are you talking about really or what they're saying?
No, what the scientific reports are saying.
Oh, 90.
D. That's it. All right.
Oh, yay!
Yes, 90. Up to 90%. And this report comes as this phony debate continues over the picture painted by an August 4th federal interagency report on the fate of the majority of the 5 million barrels of oil spilled from the well. So the truth is coming out. Do you believe in karma?
I'm not real superstitious, but I do think that people's karma can slap them in the face sometimes.
Do you think the United States is getting slapped in the face because of some of the stuff we have perpetrated against the rest of the world? I mean, look what's going on here.
I think that what is happening is we are getting a reaction to our actions.
Yeah, which is karma.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess you might say that. It is kind of poetic justice, but it's very painful. We have screwed up the world, and the world is screwing up us, and now we'll all be screwed up. So I don't know whether that's going to come out very well.
Well, I hope it does come out okay. I think we have to go through an extended period here of watching the crazies in such an ascendancy in this country, whether they're religious crazies or political crazies, and oh my God, is that a contest or what?
Well, they're the same people,
and
I have a theory about why they're so crazy right now.
What's that?
I think what's happening is we're experiencing the dying throes of religion. It is, I mean, in these modern times, here we are in the 21st century, we're sending people into space, we have amazing technology, amazing science, we have a lot of handle on where the universe began, what is going on, and it is all completely opposite of what religion has always told us. And mm-hmm. So they are fighting their last fight, their last hurrah. It's dying. It's caveman. And they want to bring us all back in the cave, but it's like toothpaste out of the tube. Modern life is going to go on, and religion in a couple hundred years is going to be, you know, history.
Well, I would like to think so. I would like to think that we could evolve beyond the need for this kind of spooky, superstitious nonsense that is there only because people are afraid of the dark, and I mean the ultimate dark.
Right.
And that's how it all came about. I hope it goes away. Hey, listen, Susan.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Congratulations. I'm going to put you on hold.
Kathy, thank you so much, Mike. I enjoy your show. I live for it.
Thanks a lot. I'll put you on hold, Kathy. We'll get the information. Hold on. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. And if you're on hold and you want to talk, we'll come to you in just a second. But I want to do this report from Prairie 2. It's very appropriate. Rotten eggs. You've been following this egg recall? Oh, period. My, period. God, period. Prairie 2 writes, as the economy continues to spiral down, a record number of Americans are tapping their 401ks to pay the bills. Both loans against savings and emergency withdrawals are up from last year. On the other end, 25% of employers have stopped making contributions, and more employees have jobs that don't even offer retirement accounts to begin with. As well as worrying about that smell coming from your nest egg, you need to think about throwing out the ones in your refrigerator. The egg recall has spread to all five farms in Iowa owned by Jack DeCoster, Inc., and also has been applied to the farms of another corporation 100 miles away. It's starting to look like bad feed, which could be something like contaminated fish protein that's added to chicken feed, but we don't know yet. The last such outbreak was from the antibiotic drugs that they were using to keep the chickens laying eggs under horrible conditions. Or it could be some entirely new corporate malfeasance. The number of eggs involved has gone past half a billion, and they stopped announcing the number of eggs when adding new plant numbers and brands to the list. One brand recalled turned out to be counterfeit packaging, according to the brand's owner, who denied authorizing DeCoster to package eggs under their name. Jack DeCoster is well known for how many times he's been charged with just about every violation that a giant corporate farm can be. Everything from massive manure spills into waterways to animal cruelty and neglect on a massive scale. He's been fined $2 million for knowingly hiring illegal immigrants and charged by OSHA for abusing workers in a variety of ways, including but not limited to forcing them to handle dead animals without gloves or protective masks in the presence of government inspectors, and forcing them to live in rat-infested trailers adjacent to manure storage. My God. On a farm like this, the volume of manure exceeds the sewage output of a large city. The ammonia and other chemicals in the air routinely exceed EPA safety levels. Jack DeCoster's hog operations in Iowa racked up so many violations in the 1990s that the Iowa Attorney General classified him an habitual violator in 2000. The truth is, there has always been food poisoning. But as bigger and bigger corporations control nearly all food production, the problem has become one of scale. Not only does the outbreak affect huge numbers of people, but the economies of scale these corporate farms operate at allow them to do things no small farmer would dream of. A little chemical here, a little recombinant DNA there. What could go wrong? Prairie 2. Go to his website. Or not. PrairieNumeral2.com. Yeah, the he mentioned the other night, I think Prairie 2 did, that it'll turn out, you watch, it'll turn out that the poison chicken feed has come from China. You watch. We try our damnedest here in the Molloy compound to buy locally as best we can. We go to not just farmers markets, but to the local where people who have backyard gardens in around Metro Atlanta, and or raise chickens in their backyard. A lot of people, I'm finding more and more so-called middle class white folks and middle-class black folks raising chickens in their backyard. And then they go to these little, what do you want to call them? Not farmers markets, but the growers markets on different days of the week. Like I mentioned the other day on the program, either set up in a church parking lot or a bank parking lot from 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock. And, people stop there on the way home and pick up stuff, tomatoes, real tomatoes. we try to buy organic. We do when we go to a farmer's market. But I'll tell you what, you go to one of these little stands where the people are, you know, little commune stand where people show up and they have their little booth and buy tomatoes from them and then compare them to the tomatoes you buy in a supermarket marked organic or in a farmer's market marked organic, compare the taste. And the tomatoes that you get from the local parking lot grower, parking lot where he or she sets up the booth, are the tomatoes that my grandmother used to grow. We got some the other day. We had some in salad tonight. And every time I bite into one, just a flood of memories of grandma. These tomatoes actually have taste. Can you believe that? We'll be right back. BartCop.com, the single most entertaining website on the internet. And he's been around forever. If you're familiar with BartCop, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, he says he's in Glacier National Park. Where is it? Montana. Listening to the program on satellite radio.
And he'd like you to stop stealing from him now.
No, I will always steal from Bart Cop. I get probably my best lines comes from his website. I go there. I told you. That's the last place I go every day. I mean, it may be, midnight 30 or 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is. But I'll go to Bart Cop's website. And the really good stuff, I'll cut and paste and send it to me in an email. Send it myself an email. And then I use it. You know, the next day, he never knows. You know, he said I can do that anyway. He doesn't care. But go to his website. Go check him out. Bart Cop, just like it sounds. B-A-R-T, Cop. BartCop.com. Great website. How long has he been around? He's been, since the internet was run by steam engines, I think. Yeah, I think so. All right, Drew is in Madison listening on the mic. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
You are.
Awesome show as always. I just want to ask you, what do you think of that Duggar family? That's unbelievable. They have like 30,000 children. Did you hear about these guys?
No.
Every time they have a kid, the mainstream media will put them on the cover of a magazine, and they barely have any critical word to say about it. But this is a husband, a fundamentalist Christian husband.
Yeah.
I feel, in a sense, is abusing his wife.
You know,
making her have 20 kids.
Wait a minute. Kathy, open your mic. Because, Drew, I have to tell you, I'm drawing a complete blank here.
It's a reality TV series, Mike.
Oh, it is real. I didn't even know that.
Which you haven't watched since Survivor, but I think it's called 18 and Counting, I believe, is the show that follows them. And now they're up to 20.
20 kids.
Natural children, not adopted.
All right. Well, I could have gone all night without hearing that, but... I don't have anything to say about stuff like that. To me, television is what it is. It is designed to make all of us forget that.
It's a freak show.
Yeah, well, that sounds like one of the real freak shows. But television is designed to make us forget, unless it's the Fox Channel, and that's designed to make us go kill people in the streets. But everything else is designed to make us forget. Oh, well. Hey, thanks, Drew. Appreciate you checking in. Okay. All right. Take care. Television is a narcotic. And like any narcotic, it is specifically designed to ease your pain. But the side effect is to put you to sleep. Or I've got it backwards. It's designed to put you to sleep and handle your pain. I literally hate television. I'm not trying to be an elitist because I still want, I go to the Discovery Channel. I go to Nat Geo Wild so I can see creatures eating each other. You can also get that on some of the porn channels too, but especially, Nat Geo Wild, the Science Channel, the stuff about the solar system. I know. We knew all about this, when we were in high school. But that's the thing. No, we didn't. See, all these probes that we have sent out, is just returning all this information, and the Hubble and all these exploratory devices that are returning so much information. And I think that's one of the reasons that the religious fundamentalists of all stripes are going berserk and insane. Because once again, science is taking them by the back of the head and pushing their faces right into the mud and saying, here, stay where you belong. Keep your face in the mud. You people are nuts. But yeah, I do watch that. But as far as networked television or so-called entertaining television, no, I don't. I will watch Cops. Every once in a while, I'll go to that G4 channel and watch Cops. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't admit that. And then MSNBC on Friday. Hey, this is Friday night. Oh, my God. On MSNBC on Friday night, they do Lock Up. And where you get to see all about what it's like to live in prison. Now, I don't know why I find that compelling. But to me, it is. I guess it's to see the dehumanizing effect of prison on not just the prisoners, but also on the guards and the administrators, and then to realize that the prison industrial complex is taking over.
Yeah, Lockup's pretty good. The guy that tattooed his eyeballs was kind of freaking me out, but the one that gets me is on A&E.
Yeah?
The Hoarders.
Oh, those people who live in the houses that are just chock-a-block with junk.
And, some of them have hoarded animals, and they find all the little skeletons and the decaying.
It's just, I don't know. Now, to me, that's reality television. Somebody has 20 kids or some of these other so-called reality shows. That's nonsense. But when they show these poor, deranged people who are otherwise seemingly normal, but where it concerns how they live on just mountains of trash and can't get rid of anything. All right, we'll be back. Your phone calls, too, when we come back. So stick around. We have a couple more things to drop in the mix, but we'll take your calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. Let's get this one out of the way here. This is the Malloy Show. Ron is driving in Missouri, listening on XM. Hello, Ron.
Yeah, hey, Max. I'm dreaming. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, I just want to let you know, did you get my email in response to your opening email about Islam?
I don't know. I might have.
Okay, well, basically, to make a real long story short, if you have time, please read through it. I just wanted to let you and your audience know out there, and I'm speaking to this from a personal point of view. Do you know who the Zoroastrians are, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you know that we are the religion of pre-Islamic Persia, and we are the oldest monotheistic religion, even older than Judaism. Do you know that much?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, and I'm really biting my tongue here, but when you read that email, and I've listened to you, Mike, when I can, when I'm not driving, but, I mean, that was the final straw for me, Mike. Let me just be brief about this, okay?
Wait, what email? What email?
The one I sent you as far as reading it on the air, if you could, when you had time.
The
subject said, Mike, please, and please within capital letters, read this email in response to your Islam email at the beginning of the show. I mean, it should stick out if you got it.
It said, please
read on the show if you can in response to your email that you first had.
All right, well, I don't see it, but go ahead.
Okay, but anyways, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm biting my tongue here. Ever since 9/11, you know, I wanted to puke, and the last thing I want to do, as I wrote in the email, is give these crazy right-wing Christians any more ammunition against Islam. But if you look up the history, Mike, between the Zoroastrians and Islam, you'll see that we are living proof of their alleged peaceful religion, Mike. And I speak of this only from a personal point of view. Okay, they have pushed our religion. There are only less than a quarter million of us, best guess, around the world left. Okay? For the last 2,000 years, Michael, they have pushed my religion and our people to the brink of extinction by the edge of their sword, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I say this with passion. You know, I don't expect you to understand. Unless you're a Zoroastrian, you can only understand. But, I mean, this is just about survival as far as we're concerned. You know, we were the entire religion of the entire Persian Empire for 1,100 years. Cyrus the Great, who freed the Jews from Babylon, was a Zoroastrian. That wailing wall that the Jews pray up against, that was built by Zoroastrian and Persian money. Okay, even the Jews will acknowledge that. So I just wanted to say, Mike, from a personal point of view, you know, I want to puke every time I hear somebody say Islam is a peaceful religion. Why don't you people look up the history between the Zoroastrians and Islam, and you will see we are living proof of their peaceful religion. You know, we were you being the atheist, Mike, help me out here. Is my anger justified?
Religious anger is always justified. Religion demands anger. Without anger, there's no religion, because every religion, and no disrespect here, Ron, but every religion, yeah. I mean, the Christians would tell you they've been persecuted. They were eaten by lions. The Jews were persecuted. Muslims are being persecuted now. I don't understand. I don't know why you're calling me with this. I'm not a defender.
No,
I'm not
because you didn't. No, I'm not. No, because you reading that email was just so one-sided. You know, it's just not fair. It's not right. You're reading one person's opinion about his religion, and I'm giving you my personal knowledge about our religion and what that religion has done to us for the last 2,000 years is push us. You know, the only reason that nobody's hardly heard about us is because they have pushed us to the point of extinction, Mike. Well, there's only a quarter million of us left in this world, Mike, because of them. When they invaded the last Persian Empire, okay, when they came up with Saudi Arabia, the Arabs, that's why to this day, as much as I hate to say this, the Iranians keep their Persian identity. They don't want to be called Arabs because it's an insult to them, even though they are Muslim. Okay, so they spoke, but
right.
Again, to answer your question, okay, in our religion, it's real simple, and it kind of paraphrases the Jews, because they were under Persian rule from Cyrus on. You know, we are. It's real simple. You are going to be judged by every thought, every word, and every deed on Judgment Day when you die, okay? There's no Savior waiting to save you, okay? It's personal responsibility. You're going to answer for your life whether you're going to go to hell or heaven. It's as simple as that. You know, I'm by no way fanatical, nut or anything. I'm sure you can hear my passion in my voice. But again, you know, it just makes me want to puke every time I hear somebody say,
okay.
Islam. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, I get it, Ron, and I appreciate you checking in. I really do. But see, I think you're making my point that religion of any sort, I don't care what it looks like on paper, has at its very base the idea that my religion is the only true religion, and if you believe something else, then you believe falsehoods, lies, and deceptions, and so on and so forth. I am vaguely aware. I have not studied Zoroastrianism, but I am vaguely aware. Isn't that the religion that also produces the kind of meditation that people in the West call the whirling dervishes, the people who spin and dance and put themselves in ecstatic religious states? But you know, I don't think there's a religion on earth that can't claim victimhood at one point or another, because religion is about victimhood. It's about fear. It's about trying to convince everybody else to believe a certain way. That's, you know, even though some religions don't evangelize, they all have that belief at the bottom. My religion is the one. I might tolerate yours, but mine is the one. Okay? Okay. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I can't be more understanding. Let me change course here. I just got this from JP in North Carolina. He writes, Mike, I was recently employed by the North Carolina Department of Revenue as a database IT employee. But I was given, quote, permanent temporary, end quote, status, meaning an 11-month term, renewable, but with no benefits. I did the same work as full-time permanent employees, but got no benefits, but had that promise of renewable as my benefit. When the economy went south, I wasn't renewed. Before this, I had many temporary jobs with universities and in broadcasting, no benefits. I'm 60 now. And of course, finding a job is almost impossible. And no one wants to give permanent status, much less benefits. I've got the teeth to prove it. And I'm healthy, quote, quote, because I cannot afford to go to the dentist or the doctor. At one time, I had real benefits in retirement until laid off at the 23-year point, which meant I got no retirement or benefits after retirement. I'm living the new American dream each day, and it is hell. As I've heard said, hope can be its own death sentence. This is the new America. I feel bad for the kids who will inherit the mess we've allowed to be created. If they don't rise up, they will be living in the woods. We're too old to change. We are too old to change things. JP. Badoo. Yeah. I hear you, JP. Thanks for writing. I've got to get this in. We got a break here? Damn it. All right. I want to get this in because it's about what's going on at two U.S. Army bases in Virginia, Fort Eustis and Fort Lee. And for the past several years, both have been putting on a series of what are called Commanding General Spiritual Fitness Concerts. And spiritual fitness is the military's new term for promoting evangelical Christianity. So I want you to hear this, because a group of soldiers said no, they weren't going to attend. I want you to hear what happened to them. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Nothing's making sense at all. You're not the only one who's afraid of change.
More Flying Monkey Free Fun and Frivolity with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. All right, here's the deal, and we'll come back to your calls here in just a second. On May 13th, just passed, about 80 soldiers stationed at Fort Eustis while attending a training course were punished for opting out of attending one of these Christian concerts. The headliner at this concert was a Christian rock band called Barlow Girl, a band that describes itself as taking, quote, an aggressive, almost warrior-like stance when it comes to spreading the gospel and serving God, end quote. Now, this is written by Chris Rada, who is the head researcher for the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, the one founded by Mikey Weinstein. We had something on the other night about the letter that he sent to the Secretary of Defense. Anyway, continuing with this, any doubt that this was an evangelical Christian event was cleared up by the Army's Army Post newspaper, the Fort Eustis Wheel, which ran an article after the concert that began this way, quote, following the Apostle Paul's message to the Ephesians in the Bible, Christian rock music's edgy all-girl band Barlow Girl brought the armor of God to the warriors and families of Fort Eustis during another installment of the Commanding General's Spiritual Fitness Concert Series, May 13th at Jacob's Theater, end quote. The father of the three Barlow sisters who make up the band also was quoted in the article saying, quote, we really believe that to be a Christian in today's world, you have to be a warrior. And we feel very blessed and privileged that God has given us the tool to deliver his message and arm his army. A few days later, some of the soldiers punished for choosing not to attend the concert contacted the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. The following is from the account sent by one of those soldiers to MRFF, detailing what transpired that night. Quote, the week prior to the event, the unit, name of the NCOs withheld, informed us of a Christian rock event that was about to take place on Thursday 13th. On Thursday 13th, at 17:30, we were informed that instead of being dismissed for the day, the entire company, about 250 soldiers, would march as a whole to the event. Not only that, to make sure that everyone is present, we were prohibited from going back to the barracks to eliminate the off chance that someone might hide in the room and not come down. We were marched as a whole to chow and were instructed to reform outside the dining facility. A number of soldiers were disappointed and restless. Several of us were of different faith or belief. A couple were particularly offended, being Muslim, and started considering to disobey the order. From the dining facility, we were marched back to the company area. There was a rumor circulating that we may be given a choice later on to fall out or attend. Though it was only a rumor, it was also a small hope. It was also a small hope enough to allow us to follow along a little longer before choosing to become disobedient. We were marched back to the company area. To our dismay, there was still no sign of us having a choice. We started marching to the theater. At that point, two Muslim soldiers fell out of formation on their own. Student leadership tried to convince them to fall back in and that a choice will be presented to us once we reach the theater. At the theater, we were instructed to split into two groups, those who want to attend and those who don't. At that point, what crossed my mind is the fact that being given an option so late in the game implies that the leadership is attempting to make a point about its intention. The body language was suggesting that we marched you here as a group to give you a clue that we really want you to attend. Now we give you the choice to either satisfy us or disappoint us. A number of soldiers seemed to notice these clues and sullenly volunteered for the concert in fear of possible consequences. Those of us that chose not to attend, about 80, were marched back to the company area. At that point, the NCO issued us a punishment. We were to be on lockdown in the company, could not go anywhere on post. We were to go strictly to the barracks and contact maintenance. If we were caught sitting in our rooms, in our beds, or having or handling electronics like cell phones, laptops, etc., and doing anything other than maintenance, we would further have our weekend passes revoked and continue barracks maintenance for the entirety of the weekend. At that point, the implied message was clear in my mind. We gave you a choice to either satisfy us or disappoint us. Since you chose to disappoint us, you will now have your freedom suspended and contact chores while the rest of your buddies are enjoying a concert. And it goes on. The letter I read on the program the other night by Mikey Weinstein to the Secretary of Defense pretty much lays out what is going on here. The United States military is being Christianized. And there seems to be nothing that anyone can or will do about it. I'll tell you, when and you know this as well as I do, you mix religious fervor with military training and the right to go kill people, the obligation to go kill people, and you've got a recipe for utter disaster. But that apparently is what's been going on. We've been talking about this for years, the turning of the United States military into a force of crusaders. It's happening. So, what to do about it? Don't ask me. I'm just a radio talk show host.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. You know, another reason I talk about these right-wing vermin so much, whether they're the political right or the religious right, is because, I've said it before, they are hell-bent on destroying the country. They really are. As somebody has pointed out, the ones doing the most damage are the right-wing politicos and the Christian evangelical fundamentalists. They're trying to destroy the country. They want to replace it with a theocratic system of government and control that would destroy the Muslims, destroy the Jews, destroy the Hindus, destroy everybody. Now, again, you know my position on religion, but I'll be damned if I'm willing to just sit back and watch this happen. So when I talk about some of these freakish organizations, whether they be political or right-wing Christians, it's to make sure that people understand, at least the people listening to this program. I don't mean to say understand. It's at least to give people a chance to hear something they can believe or not believe, how dangerous these people are. I've told this story before. excuse me. It was like 18 years ago when I worked for WSB here in Atlanta and was taking on this, to me, new revival of the Christian Reconstruction Movement. These people are sick bastards. I mean, oh, my God. And it got so bad, I got enough death threats, and the station, WSB, got enough bomb threats that, twice they had to clear WSB. Every time I got a death threat, I had to take it down to the homicide division. You don't think that was unnerving of the Atlanta Police Department? And when I asked one of the cops down there, you know, why am I bringing it here? Why not, you know, why does, he said, because in case they kill you. And that's when the cop came out, and I've told the story a million times, I'm sorry, the guy from the Atlanta Police Department Terrorism Division, and this is back when terrorism was all domestic, and most of it was, this is Atlanta, most of it was religious terrorism, I mean perpetrated by religion, not against churches, but perpetrated by religion, or you know, the Klan, or these skinhead bastards, people like that. So that's when the guy came out and he said, you know, I can't tell you what to say or not say on your program, but if you're going to talk about the things you're talking about, especially with the Christian Reconstruction movement, you better get, you better start carrying a gun, a weapon. And we will, you know, you pick it, we'll train you. You come down to the firing range and this and that and get your permit, and we'll certify you. I think at the time it was once every 2 years or whatever. And that's how, excuse me, that's how it started. I don't like guns. I have a 32-year-old son. When he was a kid growing up, I wouldn't allow him to have a toy gun. Of course, he would pick up a stick and pretend like it was a gun. But I don't like guns. I don't like the fact that... I own several, but that's where it started, from this religious horse crap. And I'm talking 18 years ago. So this is nothing new for me. These sick right-wing Christian bastards have been a bane of my existence for almost two decades. And I hate them. I literally just, they don't have anything to do with any of the so-called spiritual aspects of religion. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They're about death and destruction and discord, ugliness, hate. I don't like them. I don't like any of them. Alan Grayson is going to bat for... this is for himself. This came from Chris in Florida. I just got to share this with you. Alan Grayson, Representative Alan Grayson, he's running for re-election. He writes, "My opponent, Dan Webster, endorsed in the primary by the Orlando Sentinel and by Jeb Bush, may not have a clue on what to do about joblessness, homelessness, expensive health care, no money for schools, or endless war, but he does know what to do about divorce. Ban it." In the Florida legislature, Dan Webster sponsored and supported a bill to institute covenant marriage. Right? Covenant marriage. In a covenant marriage, you can't get divorced. This is like Roach Hotel marriages, right? you can go in, but you never come out. Anyway, this guy running against Alan Grayson introduces a bill that reduces the institution of marriage to a roach motel. You can check in, but you can't check out, with one exception, adultery. So let's say that your husband, God forbid, has been abusing you, and you're a woman, and you need a divorce. You have only one option. According to Dan Webster's law, you would need to deliberately commit adultery in order to get a divorce. But here's the catch. Under Dan Webster's law, if both parties cheat on each other, then they can't get a divorce. Ever. They're locked in holy matrimony forever, like two scorpions in a bottle. So, if you cheat on him to get away from him, and it turns out he's cheated on you, well, you're screwed, only in a different way. There's only one place in the entire world where both divorce and annulment are forbidden. The Taliban government in northwest Pakistan. The Taliban government in northwest Pakistan. And this guy, Dan Webster, running against Alan Grayson, is a Christian conservative. Huh? He would burn to death gay people. He would. Literally. No. Literally. Burn them. Because they're already agents of Satan. Burn them to death. That's what he would recommend. As far as the Jews are concerned, oh, we love the Jews until Jesus slides down the pile of corpses into Israel. Then we'll give the Jews about 5 minutes to convert. Just like we did during the Inquisition. And the Jews who convert, hey, welcome, brother, maybe. And the ones that don't, right across the throat. As far as the Muslims are concerned, well, we're working on that problem now. I mean, this is madness. This is madness. Why do you talk about this stuff on your program so much, Malloy? Jesus God, don't you realize other stuff going on? Yeah, but you know what? The other stuff matters. But to me, it doesn't matter as much as this religious insanity. They're trying to turn the United States military into the same thing that Richard the Lionhearted turned the British collection of so-called soldiers back in, what is it, 11th century, 12th century? Crusaders. Why do they hate us? Well, it damn sure isn't because we buy houses. Arnold is in Durham, North Carolina. Hello, Arnold.
Hey, Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm getting by.
It's been a while since I talked to you. Last time I tried it, my phone was working very good.
Yeah, well, okay, well, that's right. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. One of your last callers said how he went to puke when he got to the subject matter.
I know.
My subject matter is the grandiose relationship between Dr. Laura Schlesinger, or whatever her name is, and Miss I quit the government of Sarah Palin.
Aren't these two the gruesome twosome? I've never seen anything.
I'm telling you,
I don't get this. Sarah Palin sticks up for this hideous woman, Schlesinger, who deliberately and with malice aforethought, let's be real, uses the N-word, and Sarah Palin, and then she has the gall, Dr. Laura, to go on CNN and say her First Amendment rights are being taken away. I'd like to First Amendment her rights right upside her head.
Right, she wants to be the victim now
of
racism, you know.
Like, right, she's
like
a victim.
Back in the 40s and the 30s, all you had to do was say, the black man looks at me. I'm a victim. I mean, she bore it on herself. But the thing of it is, she talked about Sarah Palin like a dog during the election.
Oh, I know.
Obama and told her how it was a bad decision on
because she had a retarded child.
Remember,
Dr. Laura said, couldn't the Republicans find somebody that didn't have a retarded child, someone with a normal child, to be vice president? She ripped Sarah Palin a new body orifice. But now Sarah Palin jumps like a dog that just got his tail stepped on to come to this crazy old psychopath Dr. Laura's defense. I can't figure it out. Maybe you can.
Well, I'm telling you, it's they want to take power back over. I'm telling you, I guarantee you, this guy who's painted orange, who's the head of the Republicans in the Congress, what's his name, Boehner?
Boehner.
Mona, if they take power back from the Democrats, I guarantee you, first thing on his amendment is to impeach Barack Obama.
Well, sure,
it's
sure.
To impeach him.
Sure.
The subpoenas will fly.
The subpoenas will come out
of the ceiling.
Hey, I got a break.
They don't care nothing but.
I got a break here, Arnold.
All right, brother.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate you checking in. Gotta go. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservatives.
Before the hour, thanks to our some of our technical crew here, I haven't mentioned him for a while, Sharon Gordy, who is our military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, who is Prairie 2, Kay Petrini, Education Affairs, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, the program's ethics advisors, and Kathy Bay, who is the producer, engineer, and the one who screams when things go wrong. mechanically. From Roz in Canada, Mike, heard you mention whirling dervishes, and I think you thought they were part of Zoroastrianism. I do believe they are from the mystic branch of Islam known as Sufi. You know, I knew that, but I forgot it. The religion of Zoroastrianism comes from Persia, and it's thought to predate Judaism. It is actually thought to be the original monotheistic religion and not Judaism, though the school of thought is still out on that one. In India, where a lot of Zoroastrians were more or less forced to flee, they are known as Parsis, supposedly higher class of people. Regarding the forced attending of right-wing Christian services in the U.S. military, sounds to me as though they are trying to recreate the Crusaders, albeit dumber than the originals. I swear that the religion of Christianity in the United States is a totally different animal than the same religion found anywhere else in the world. This American strain is particularly dumb, arrogant, and gullible. Obnoxious, too. I also saw that Franklin Graham on television almost wrote to John King myself, why did they allow airtime to these half-illiterate morons? He is the antithesis of what a Christian should be. They have a false religion, and they stole the name of Christianity. Like you, I detest these people. Roz. Yeah, Sufism. I'm sorry. That was... I did know that, because I know zip about Zoroastrianism. Whatever. Nothing. I need to find out a little bit about that. Huh? Okay. Diane is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Diane.
Hey, Mike. Two quick things. Yesterday, you were talking about Mox. Last week, when I heard about it, I called Mox. There's an 800 number on every one of their packages, made sure it was being recorded, requested that it be sent to corporate, and said I was boycotting the products and returning whatever I had on my shelves until they changed back their policy.
Good.
I hope all your listeners will do that. It's really easy. The other thing is that today I heard a United Healthcare ad that blew my mind, made me want to scream the way you scream. Do you recall during the whole healthcare debate, the screaming about the database that Obama wanted to set up?
Yeah.
And hello?
Yes. I'm here. I remember that. Diane? What happened to Diane? All right, her cell phone must have dropped.
Hello.
Yes, Diane. Okay, I have no earthly idea what happened, but I think it was on Diane's end. Not here. Robbie is in Orlando. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay.
Well, very thankful you're taking my call. I'm actually very aggravated tonight, and I get out of work. I'm on my way to the ER. My son cut his throat. No insurance, by the way, because everything costs so much damn money.
Yeah.
But you're on this, the religious kick. I'm from Long Island. I moved to Orlando here about 3 years ago. Big time liberal guy, and over the years I got married. I have a 2.5-year-old kid, so my interest in politics and whatnot in general has gone up. Obviously, because I'm head of the household, I have a family, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, more so her family, are the typical Fox News radical right wing Christian nut job. They were on the local news about a week and a half ago. 2 weeks ago, when that whole Prop 8 thing was going on, mm-hmm. because their church sponsored a huge anti-gay rally, and then the gay rights people came to preach against, to protest against them. I'm kind of fighting a huge battle here because I'm the only one who thinks this way. I went to the church today because my son has to go to preschool there because my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, is the principal, and we get such a discount by sending him there. We can't afford any other type of a daycare. My wife works full-time. I work. I'm going to school as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there kind of checking out the school. I go into the principal, my mother-in-law's office, and her other family members are there, some other people from the church and whatnot, the church's school. And they're talking about this whole mosque issue and, they're scared of these evil Muslims. And, when I mentioned to them, I said, these people have a right to build this there. If I was the guy, creating this, at this point, maybe I think about maybe moving it somewhere else, not because I'm worried about offending anybody,
mm-hmm.
but because is it really worth the battle in the long run? Mm-hmm. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know.
Right. No.
Little detail.
I get it. Right.
Yeah. Fighting these people, it's just not worth it.
Right.
And you know, they're very nice to me. They know not to really bring up politics too much. It's become such a big part of, you know, my interest in general that, you know, they'll kind of throw back this Rush Limbaugh type of talking point, and then I'll hit them up with some type of statistics or, you know, other numbers
right.
that they can't back up their words with. But I just want, you know, yourself, you know, I really want to thank you for having a platform that people can actually call, you know, who think more like we do. Before I had Sirius, you know, you go through the AM dial down from here and you have nothing but a bunch of nut jobs, one after the other. They're worse than the next guy.
That's right. You know, that's right.
They
yeah.
don't want, they, these, the people, I don't know, it's not everybody down here, but growing up on Long Island, father's in the union, middle class family, you know, my parents, you know, they'll say they're Christian, but it's more like they're more spiritual. I mean, they believe in God, but, you know, it's more do good. And, you know, whatever happens at the end, you'll be okay.
I hear you. Robbie, I love what you're saying. It's great. And you have nothing but my deepest sympathy what you're going through, man. Oh, my God. I don't know how. I hope you can handle it. I hope your son's all right. But we're flat out of time, pal. I hope you call this program again. I'd love to hear from you again. All right? Take care. All right, folks, I'll see you Monday. You can listen to the program live as we record it, 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday online. We also feed the video. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. And Kevin Kinney, have a great weekend wherever you are. I'm Mike Malloy.